We have come to where the Lord has done one of those most miraculous miracles that he does, where he feeds the 5,000 men plus women plus children. And he does so in a remarkable way with five loaves, barley loaves, and two tiny fish that go, fish like a relish that goes on the bread, on the loaves. And he did so. And they all ate, and they were all full. And when you come to chapter 6 and in verse 12, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost, that nothing was to be wasted. Everything God does, he has no waste to it. Even when he makes a million zillion lilies, little flowers, on the side of a mountain that no one ever sees. No waste. No waste at all. Always, always to demonstrate the wonderment of God's power, God's caring, God's involvement. So there's no, even though he does little things, to demonstrate that. Even that is little. The whole universe, with all of its billions of galaxies, is very little. In fact, anything God does is little, because God is God, infinite. So there's nothing that God does that's too big at all. Now, having said that, he fed them, and nothing was to be left over. The baskets were full of bread and fish. And thus we come to their response. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So everyone had more than what they started with. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now, in order to pick up the mood and the movement that was governed by the healings. Remember, he's healing lots and lots and lots of people in Capernaum, Bethsaida. They followed him. They got there ahead of the boat as they arrived. The people were waiting. He's healing and healing and diseases and healing untold number. And not only the healing, but then the feeding. The wonderful feeding. Now, in order to capitalize on what God has given us in his word, and John is looking back, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are way back here in history, writing, recording. John is way out here near 100 AD, looking back at all of it. He has the New Testament. He has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything is there. He has it in his hand if he wants it. He's going to tell us, he's looking and giving you a different window in the light of the whole picture. And thus there's differences, and there ought to be. John, you don't cover. You don't tell us that the fish, the baskets were full of fish too. No, but Mark does. It wasn't important to John. What was important? Something else was more important to John. Thus, when we come to God who is giving it. And so here they are, mood, movement, all looking and having an awesome sense of what just happened between the healing and the feeding. Over, if you would, please. And remember now, we're looking to get in verse 14, the end of verse 14. This they said of the Lord Jesus, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. This is the one. This must be the one. Hang on to that. Over, if you would please, to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. And remember now, they're quizzing John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was a spectacular prophet in many ways. John chapter 1, verse 21. They asked him, John the Baptist, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no, I am not that prophet. Here they are on a year before his crucifixion, 2.5 years into the ministry, and here they are approximately, and here's a year left before his crucifixion, and they want to know, they, in all the feeding and the healing, are you that prophet? This must be that prophet. That's what they said. Now, they asked John, and John said, I'm not that prophet. Then this one must be that prophet. Over, if you would please, just hold your finger here in John, and go over to Deuteronomy chapter 18 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Remember now, there are people in all of these, this great host of people. There are people that knew their Bible a little bit. And there are people that didn't know anything. As always, people that know and then the people that don't know. Now, what the ones that knew this. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, Israel, of thy brethren, like unto me, said Moses. Unto him, that prophet, ye shall hearken. Sliding down to verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now, here's the prophet predicted. Moses said, there's one coming greater than I. Now, what do we know about Moses? Well, Moses is the one that has him out in the wilderness, and he was the one that, the prophet that brought manna, as it were, from God, manna, food, water, for 40 years. Wow. Here's another prophet's coming greater than him. Now, what did the Lord just do? The Lord just went and fed 15,000 people or so. He fed them. Plenty. Here, is this the prophet? Is this the prophet like Moses? Now, back over to the Gospel of John. And if you would, please, the Gospel of John, picking up in Matthew. No. Go in John, and then we'll go to Matthew. Over, if you would, please, as you would, John chapter 6. And in the light of that, this prophet. Now, we said the prophet in the light of Deuteronomy chapter 18. Are you the prophet? Now, remember now, to get a little bit more, they are upset. They have been fed. They have been healed. Very wonderful human benefits. They are terribly, mostly, upset with the Herods, The Herods are lousy kings. They are upset with the Roman leadership in Jerusalem, etc. They're upset. Their world conditions. Here's material benefits that they personally got. They are upset with the conditions by way of the Herods and Rome, etc. And thus they're looking. They're looking. And here is they're sparked, they're stirred, they're moved to consider. This one, he is the prophet. Now, not only, so what are we going to do with this prophet? Chapter 6 and verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived, he knew what was going to happen, that they would come. They are coming, they're talking, they're planning the scuttlebutt out there. They're coming to make him a king. And he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He knew as it was all the stuff going on with the crowd, they're going to come and force him to be a king, as you'll see, to force him to be king. He's a prophet. Well, a prophet who has such power over he would have power in Jerusalem, will come down and just like Muhammad. How did Muhammad enter in to be power in Medina down there? The great host, it was a 1,500 or whatever it was of his army, marched in, and he took over. He killed all the idols they had and set up what he did. He could do it. We're going to march into Jerusalem. We're going to march in and do what? We're going to go and make him king. Now, and thus, having said that, now they're going to make him king. He's a prophet. He could be a prophet that can do power, has power, and we like his power and his benefits. We're going to promote him to be a king. So now let's look at that end of it. The prophet, they got the prophet part. Now they got the king. They're going to make him a king. Over, if you would please, now to Matthew chapter 2. And let's put that together. Going to make him a king. And in Matthew chapter 2, picking up, please, if I may, in chapter, and by the way, remember Herod is going to go, you'll pick it up in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Verse 6, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel. And that's quoting Micah 5:2. Herod didn't know that. The priests and them knew that. And the magi, the wise men coming, they knew that. That's what they're looking at. They're looking at the scriptures, saw the star, and they put the two and two together, and they moved to Jerusalem, as it were, to Bethlehem, I should say. Now, in the process, Herod is going to go, and he discovers the child born in Bethlehem of Judea is the one promised. He's the promised one. Now, over to chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Now, please note in verse 2, where is the one? Who are you looking for, wise men, magi, under think of in Persia and all that, with the wise men? Coming. Now, we're coming, and we're looking for the king of the Jews. The king of the Jews is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's what we know. We've come all the way, a great, great distance, to see him. To see him. And now, having said that, King of the Jews. Now, that's what they're looking for. A baby born who's King of the Jews. Over, if you would please, to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. Remember, they want to make him a king, because he's a prophet, and they need someone who has more authority, a king. So here in John chapter 1, picking up, please, if I may, the wise men knew little baby born was King of the Jews. Picking up, if I can, in John chapter 1, and picking up in verse 48, Nathanael. And Nathanael is going to go as he's introduced to the Lord. Verse 48. Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." You're the King of Israel. That's what I know. How can they know? Oh, because God found a heart that was receptive, like the Magi, the wise men. Here's the heart of a man who is open to the Scriptures. And thus, very quickly, it comes together. Now, having said that, you are the King of the Jews. That's what Nathanael said. Now, over to chapter 12. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, picking up if I may, remember now, remember in the last week of his ministry, he enters Jerusalem, triumphal entry on a donkey, etc. Now, and you'll remember that from Matthew 21, but here it is in John chapter 12, verse 13. I'll read verse 12. "And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, cried, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King of Israel." Verse 14. "And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." So, hey, people, are you aware? He's the king. He's the king. He's the king. No question he's the king. No question about that. Over, if you would please, to chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18, picking up, please. In verse 33. Remember now, at his trial, crucifixion. "Then Pilate entered him into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews?" See, that's Pilate. So we got Nathanael. Now we got the Roman leader in Jerusalem, saying, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would I my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not of this world." Verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Verse 39. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? He said, He's the king of the Jews. He affirmed to me, said Pilate, He's the king of the Jews. He did nothing wrong. He has no reason to be crucified. I'm going to put him out. You gave him to me. Here he is. Would you like me to release him who is the king of the Jews? That's what I want to know. Would you like me to release him? King of the Jews. All right. Over, if you would please, to chapter 19. Chapter 19 and picking up in verse 3. And said, I'll read verse a little bit ahead of that. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. So now everyone's acknowledging him as King of the Jews. Verse 12. And, picking up if I can, in verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought forth Jesus and set him down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. Now, skipping if I can, verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. Their response. They cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. We have none but Caesar. Verse 19. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus Nazareth, King of the Jews. Verse 21. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written, and it stayed right there on the cross. He had written it. God, he's a king. He's a king. Born a king, came a king into Jerusalem, understood to be a king by Pilate, by Rome, in the sense of his own testimony, neglected and rejected as a king by the Jewish leadership, especially. In fact, the people that are clamoring for him to be king in John 6 and 15 are going to be clamoring for him to be crucified. Now hang on to that one. Now, in the light of that, he's king, there's no question. But in John 6 and 15, after he fed, they wanted to make him king. And he knew they wanted to make him king. And he disappeared out of the crowd. It wasn't going to happen. Why not? Why not? He's king. He is. But you can't make him king. You can't make him king. You don't. No one makes him king. Hang on. Over to Daniel chapter 7. They wanted to make him king. God knew their heart. Wow, were they weren't on target at all. Now, the world system and all of its powers from Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, Alexander the Great, all the way down the corridor of time. What do you know? All world systems are based on the fact that they are inspired and promoted and voted on, as it were, received by way of the world system itself. So they are by the world system. They are for the world system. They are part of the world system. Daniel chapter 7, picking up in verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts, wild beasts, came up from the sea, that's the Gentile world, diverse from one another, the land, Israel, the sea, Gentile. Now, where do they all come from? And without taking time, if you would, to go, they all came from where? The world. Media Persia took over Babylon. They came with an army, and they came with their army and did what they did. So all, everyone is voted on and put into power by the system, but not Christ. People have forced rulers to come in, and they've made them rulers. But you don't do that to Christ. They want to make him a king. He's a prophet. We'll make him a king. See what he can do. Now, having said that, God doesn't do that. God didn't. God, what God does is what God does. And you'll remember without, well, we'll go there in a sec. Over if you would to chapter 7 while you're here. How does the Lord enter his kingdom? He's the king, all right, and his kingdom is not of this world. So therefore, if you took him to Jerusalem, it isn't time for him to be king. Not yet. But in God's time, God makes him king. No one makes him king. No one, say it another way, no one makes God, God. He's God because he is. He's king because he is king. Now, so here's his perfect humanity going to be in the millennium. Chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which is that which shall not be destroyed. Over to chapter 2. Do it again. Chapter 2, in the listing of all of those outworking of the times of the Gentiles which we're living in. And here in Daniel and chapter 2, if I can, in verse 44. And in those days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. God will do it. Which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. But no one's going to get it after him. It's a permanent one. Shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms that are ahead of it. And it shall stand forever, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. God is going to do it. God is going to... Christ is king, not because we are going to make him king. You don't make God anything. God's a savior. You don't make him a savior. He is the savior. You don't help him be something. You don't vote for him to be something. You don't get something because you think you can maneuver, manage, manipulate. You can't do that. That's what they were doing. They were doing it. We like doing it. We like going. And what? We want comfort in sorrow. And we look for comfort and sympathy and autumn. We look for people to do it. We're looking for people. If you don't give me, understand my problem. And we have all of that out there. We're looking for the response from people. They were looking for God to answer their heart needs on their terms. And God doesn't do that. They were dead wrong. And the Lord disappeared when he knew what they wanted to do to make him a king. He disappeared from them. Now, hang on. In the light of that, and on your way back, over to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, it isn't quite on your way back. Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, picking up, please, in verse, maybe Psalm 2 in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 2, the kings of the earth sit themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, and remember the battle of Armageddon and all that. Verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. He is my king, and I put him on the throne. People don't put him on the throne. He is on the throne. And you don't make it, and I don't make it. We don't use him like a genie. We don't lose him. Now, having said that, getting that little bit, they want to make him king. He's already a king. But he can't be king yet if he doesn't finish the job. They will never know his kingdom from a good aspect. They will never make it to God's holy heaven. They'll never make it if he doesn't go to the cross. It'll never happen. They didn't have that in their head whatsoever. Now, next, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, please. And again, picking up, if I may, and John chapter 6 and verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived, understood, that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone, all alone, all alone, all alone. And remember, the high priest has to go in on the Day of Atonement, emphatically alone. Everyone else that has needs out there, no help. He has to all by himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ lays down his own life and goes alone. Alone. And it has to be alone. We can't help him. We can't do a thing. We can't do a thing to make God come out better. God already is. And we just need to discover it. Now, here's John, verse 15. And they would come and take him by force. And it's in the present tense. It means they're continuing. They're in pursuit of it. That's when he moves away from them. To take away with haste, with violence is the word. To seize, to violently take away. Take away. Over to see the word. That what are they trying to do? They aren't asking him. They're going to pick him up, as it were, and carry him. All the way. They're on their way to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover anyway. They're going to bring him there. Now, in order to get this verb, to take by force, with violence, by force, by violence, by power. Over, if you would please, John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, picking up, if I may. Oh, picking up, please, in verse 12. You're familiar with the Lord as our shepherd. And in John chapter 10, and in verse 12. I'll read verse 11. I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But He that is an hireling and not a shepherd, not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The word catch is the word to take by force. The wolf is going to go and grab the sheep and tear them and kill them. That's the word. Over in, so you see it, you say, well, boy, that's awful rough. Uh-huh, it is. That's what they're going to do. Now, and take him by force and violence, and quickly, quickly. Over, if you would please, to chapter 10 while you're here, and getting it for our own self. Now, John chapter 10, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 28. I'll read verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The word pluck, to take by force, to catch away. The wolf catches the sheep, to pluck them. No one by force and violence, with power, can take them out of my hand. The devil, with all of his awesome power and all of his host, could touch all the world and all of its antagonism and hatred. Can't touch, can't take it. Again, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them. Pluck them, there's your word, to take them by force and violence, to take them away out of my Father's hand. And by the way, I and my Father are one. We're the same, by the way. We're the same. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and you'll remember leave that part out. Go with me, please, keeping that in the mind. You're going to pluck them. No one's able to pluck them out of my hand. They're very safe, very safe. Over, if you would, please. So what are we going to say? God, here we are, looking, and they wanted to make him king, and they can't make him king because it isn't in their power to make him king, and they don't understand he can't be king until he goes to the cross, in the sense of being their king, and for them to enjoy the kingdom. Now, here we are sitting here reading this. And the world would like to look at God, have some answer. They're looking for a man to come up with an answer, you know. Another will come in my name, and him they will what? They're going to receive him. I'm in my name. They want someone. They definitely want someone. Not from a heart, not from a big picture, a little picture. We want someone to solve our present dilemmas. Peace, world, famine, economy. We want it. We want someone now to do so. That's what we want. That's what they did. Now, over, if you would, please, in your Bible to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, may I pick up, please? And you are familiar with it. Jesus answered and said, 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, they wanted to make him king. Here's the word that's related to the word king, kingdom. They wanted to have that kingdom with a wonderful, like Moses in the wilderness, to feed water, only better than that, better than fishes and barley biscuits, bread, better loaves, better than that. We want to have all the benefits. But you can't make him king. But God has done something wonderful. God has gone and taken and given you the right to know him, which they did not understand. To receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born again, is to be able to enter the kingdom of God. to know the King and His kingdom by believing. You didn't make Him anything. You allowed Him to be the Savior who happens to be the King, who happens to be able to go and do better than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He can go and give you a wonderful relationship to Himself, which includes everything that is in the realm of God's holy, heavenly, happy person. Now, John chapter 3, verse 5. John 3 and 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So God, you have made it wonderfully true for us to be saved, to be saved. And if you and I took time to read in Colossians 1, He has translated us, transplanted us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's a prayer. To realize what? What's the prayer in Colossians? To realize what has happened. God has taken us from outside to the inside. And all we did is receive the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, who happens to be the King. And when we did, God gave us a wonderful relationship to Himself and to the King and to the kingdom. All in His wonderful person. Not out of it. Where do we find the kingdom? In our unique personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the kingdom out here in forever. But we have it, the source of it, in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Now, so, in, if you would, and you know if you took time to read in Revelation 1 and 5 and 6, God, who, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, etc., and purchased us with His own blood, He has made us kings. I have made you kings. I am the King. You are my body. I have made you kings. Revelation 1, 6. Kings. We can't make you king. You can make me a king. Wow. Do you know when it speaks of the priesthood? In 1 Peter, in Peter 2, 9. It's called the royal, there's your word for king, royal priesthood. Our whole business has changed. Well, we didn't say, do some wonderful thing for me and then we'll... No, all we did was understand our bankruptcy. And we can't do a thing to make anything happen. Salvation, creation, God, it's all yours. We didn't choose to be created, and we didn't choose to be saved. You did. And we agreed. We agreed with you. Wow. Now, so having said that a little bit, or if you would please, in the light of this, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now you know it says this word, they came to take Him by force. That's what they wanted to do. Acts chapter 8. And picking up, if I may, just find it. Acts chapter 8. And going, if I can, to verse 39. 8 and 39. Remember, Philip is transported to catch up with the Ethiopian eunuch going back to Africa. And on his way back home, Ethiopia, and going back. And in the process, the Ethiopian eunuch is saved, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest that with all thine heart thou mayest," and he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, baptism, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized, identified him with the person and work of Christ. Verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of God caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Now what happened? See the word caught up? That's the word to take by force. The wolf catches the lamb. God, what did you do? Here was Philip. He did everything he was supposed to do. And God, you literally snatched him in haste, in power. You took him up and moved him. Wow. Wow. You did that. I did. He said, "I did that." Uh-huh. Now, say, wow, wow, that's something else. You bet it is. Wow. Now, over, if you would please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you're right when you're thinking it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, I'm going to go directly, if I can, to verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God from the dead, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The trump of God. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up," there's your word, "to take by force, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, so caught up, that's right, caught up. They wanted to catch him up and force him in with power, violence if needed, to make him king. God, what are you going to do with us? Well, we understand we aren't going to make you anything. We're just going to allow you. So we aren't going to force you. We can't force you. We can't do anything, God. It's absurd. And you laugh, Psalm 2, that God is going to, one of the places he laughs, he tells you, when the world comes in the battle of Armageddon and they're going to get God, we've got rockets, we've got spaceships, we've got the ammunition to get you. And remember, he is the Son of God in his perfect humanity. You have to visualize this. And we're going to get him. See? Whoa, we can get him. There he is. And that is in the context, my dear friend, when God laughs. He laughs. Wow. Now, God, here we are. Here we are. We're just here. And you're going to do what to us? We can't do it to you, but you can do it to us. You betcha. I'm going to take you away in haste, with power, in force. I am going to grab you just like this. And 1 Corinthians 15, you're going to be translated in the twinkling of an eye, the splitting of an atom, if you know how fast that is. I'm going to take you up. That takes power. That takes something wonderful, because you got to change your clothes, I assume. Wow. Now, having said that, the end of verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now you say, well, that's good. Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting, God. Good. God said, now, what did you do, God, to give us? We aren't, we're waiting. We aren't waiting for the next snowstorm. We're waiting. All right? Comfort one another with these words and wait comfortably. But in the meantime, God, what are we going to do? Over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. God, what are you going to do for us? Well, picking up, please. 14:16, in the upper room, God giving you the instructions from headquarters to go out on the battlefield. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. He is going to make it possible for my Father and I to find their home in your heart. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode, mansions, abiding places with him. And remember now, John 14:2, in my Father's house are many, what? Mansions, abiding places. Over to chapter 14 and verse 23. You will find your home in my house, and I will find my home in your house. Until I come. So I'm going to give you comfort. I'm the comforter. I'm not going to go away. So here we are, children of the King. Wow. The world hates him as king. You know awesome statements. We will not have this man to what? Reign over us. We will not have this man to reign over us. That's the Jews, let alone the Islamic and the rest of the world. They know, it ain't going to happen. But we aren't in that place. We ought not to be confused about this whole thing. I got it. Wow. Now, so God, here I am, right here with you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Until we are there with you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, you did something wonderful for us. Something wonderful. That people in the day of the feeding of the 5,000 men, they didn't get it. They never got it. No. But boy, God, thank you for putting it in there so that we can get educated and exercised on how you work and how it goes. God, we don't make it happen. You do. You do. God, you do. I don't make it happen. God does. Just think of Sunday school for the people that got through the snow. Thank God in his wonderful grace, the Spirit of God, is able to restrain and make happen whatever in your life. For all the things that you don't want to happen, and all the things that do happen, and all the things that might happen, you're looking to the Spirit of God to do that which is good in his grace, in his greatness for us. Wow. Anyway, trust you got a little bit. Appreciate your efforts, energies, and being able to get through. Actually, this wasn't a bad storm. We could have a storm where it's 4 feet of snow, and that takes a little more effort. But not this one, and maybe this may be it for the winter. Maybe not.